Praise the Lord. He's certainly worthy of all of our praise. Amen. And that's the best way to reach folks, is to lift them up. Amen. Brothers, are we working here? All right. Praise God. This being Outreach Month, I want to turn our attention again to outreach and talk to you about another principle tonight. And we're doing this kind of the beginning, or I should say, kind of the climax of this outreach is our service next Sunday. But I don't mean that in the sense it's over with then. I just mean that that's been the push and one of the reasons we've been making this push in the month of September. Do I need to do something else here? Or is it? Yeah. It was just a second here. Let me try again. It shows it's all connected. Okay. That's disappearing when I go to there. Let me try it one more time here. Somebody got testimony. Well, technology is great when it works. Well, it's showing it's all there. Go ahead and turn, in case we don't get this up, turn to John chapter 9. We're going to be looking at a principle, there we go, of outreach there. Friend and Family Sunday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. Are you praying God will save somebody that morning? I want to talk to you about this principle tonight, wonder and witness. You know, one of the things and approaches to winning souls has been to try to guilt Christians into being a witness. I don't see it as something we need to be guilted into. I think it's a natural tendency of someone truly born again to desire to share their faith. And I will say this, one of the greatest ways to revitalize your faith is to share it with somebody else. If you've ever had the opportunity of winning a soul, you know that one of the greatest experiences you can have in life is to share the gospel and see somebody come to know the Lord from that. Amen. And I said it last time, I'll say it again this time. The problem is most Christians just can't see that happening with them. They don't think, I can do that. But I'm telling you, from a child up, we're going to see in this principle tonight, you have the ability to see somebody's eternity changed, the whole direction of their eternity. You can do it. Amen. And this is a principle we're going to look at tonight, wonder and witness. Let's bow our hearts and pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the work that you've done in us, oh Lord, and what you're capable of doing with us and through us. Lord, I pray that tonight that challenge would go forth. And Lord, not only the challenge, but somebody would say, yes, I can do that, and somebody else's eternity could be changed. I pray, Lord, for your special touch and anointing in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. One of the things I've heard consistently, both as a Bible school instructor and as a pastor, I've had Christians come to me and say, I want to witness to the lost. I just don't know how. I've had Bible school graduates come to me and say, I really, really want to witness to the lost. I just don't know how. I'm not going to share a complicated procedure, a step-by-step plan tonight. I want to share a principle that I call wonder and witness. I want to share this from the Gospel of John chapter 9 about the blind man who now sees. Amen. He's still seeing too. Isn't that a wonderful story? We're going to look at that. A man who had never seen. And when he met Jesus, he left Jesus with seeing eyes. Amen. What a tremendous thing that happens. I want to share this principle. I didn't realize this guy looked like Chris Christie until I got it up there. These are two fellas witnessing. And I want to share an experience in my own life. Before I went to Bible school, I was involved in door-to-door witnessing. And several of us got together in my home church, and we also would go down to the taverns and pass out tracts and stuff. And it was just something I had a burden for. And when I went to Bible school as a student, I was involved in that program. And then later, as an instructor, I led that program. But I learned something from one of my new friends at the time, and he had not been saved very long. But we were going door to door. He was my partner for several years, and we were going door to door. And you know, some people, we're going to see this later, when you try to start talking about church or the Bible, they want to argue with you. And my inclination is, if somebody wants to argue, that sounds fun. You know, I'm talking about debate, you know, not being mad, but debate, you know. That sounds fun. So I'll never forget, we knocked on this door, and back then we called them heads. I mean, you know, marijuana smoke in the room, and I mean, you could tell they were doing drugs, and they had beer cans in their hand, and they came through the door. And immediately when I told them why we were there and what we were trying to do, they brought up some kind of question, you know, to get us started in this, you know, just to kind of, you know, distract from what we was trying to do, and some question about religion or the Bible. And it happened to be my time. So as soon as they brought that question out, here I go. And my friend was just standing there real quiet. He wasn't saying much. And I'm in the heat of it. You know, I'm getting theological. I'm getting philosophical. And I'm in the heat of it. And finally, he cleared his throat. He said, "Cliff, could I say something?" I said, "Sure." He stepped up in the door there, and he said, he looked at them, beer can in their hand, smoking, and evident that they don't know anything about God. He said, "Fellas, I just want you to know something. I used to be right where you're at." He said, "I did the drugs. I did the drinking." He said, "I was in the middle of a party, rock and roll music blaring, drinking and smoking marijuana. And there was a Bible on the coffee table there. One of those big family Bibles, decoration. It wasn't red, it was decoration." He said, "I opened it up and looked there and talked about God purchasing them with his blood and making them kings and priests." And he said, "In the middle of that party, God spoke to me and said, 'I'll save you. I'll change your life.'" He said, "Right there, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and my life has never been the same since I met Jesus. And I stand here before you today, a changed person." You could tell that just got a hold of them. You could see it on their faces, and God began to move on them. And I don't remember the rest of the story, whether we prayed with them or what that day, but I learned something from my friend who hadn't been saved that long. Amen. God has not called us to the lost to be philosophers or theologian or apologist. He's called us to go to the lost and to tell them what great things the Lord has done for us. That's the principle we're going to deal with. It's about witness. Let's look at that. First of all, I want to talk about the wonder part of it. If you are not filled with wonder and amazement over what God has done for you, why would anyone else be? I mean, if my friend had looked at them and said, "Hey, you know, guys, that Jesus can make a difference in your life," what effect does that have? Get up to sing. "I'm saved, and I know that I am. I'm saved." Where's the wonder? But what about, "I'm saved, and I know that I am"? Excited. Still filled with wonder. You know, that's the reason I have to doubt some of these miracle faith healings anymore. Somebody supposedly got healed, and what happened to you? "Well, I got healed." "Well, what happened to you?" "I was lame, but now I can walk." I don't believe it was that way. I believe that blind man was a jumping and a yelling and a calling out, "I can see. I can see. I've never seen before, but I met Jesus and he gave me eyes and I can see." Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, the best way to reach the lost is to let them see the wonder and the amazement and the joy that we have over what the Lord has done for us. That's where witness starts. It starts with a wonder. But I want to talk to you about what the word witness means. You see, when we talk about reaching the lost, we can call it soul winning. We can call it personal evangelism. We can call it sharing our faith. But what we've really been asked to do is to give a witness. I want you to think with me, if you were a witness in court, what is demanded of you when they call you as a witness? What are they wanting from you? They don't want you to talk about what somebody else saw. They don't want you to talk about what happened to somebody else. When you are called as a witness, they are asking of you to share what you saw, to share what you heard, to share what you individually experienced. And that's what a witness is. It's sharing publicly what has happened personally to you. And so we're called to be witnesses. We're not just called to talk about what happened to Abraham, though that may fit at some point. We're not just called to talk about what happened in revival years and years ago, unless it happened to us. Even as a witness, we tell people what happened to us when we met the Lord. And I think we could all do that. Just talk about what happened to us. You see, that's contingent upon something happening to us. Now, how many can lift a hand and say, something happened to me when I met the Lord? It wasn't religion. Hallelujah. You met the Savior. Do you remember? I mean, let's get a little bit of that wonder there. Sin in your life. But when you met Jesus, the sin was gone. Clean, washed, hopeless. But when you met Jesus, you had hope for the first time. Amen. Darkness. But when you met Jesus, light filled your life. Hallelujah. And so, as a witness, we share what's happened to us. Now, this is so simple, but it just liberates us from this thing that we got to be technical and we got to know all the Bible answers to reach souls. It frees us from that. We're to be a witness. So how are we a witness, or how do we witness? Three simple things. First of all, if you want to share a witness, first of all, share what your life was like before you met Christ. People need to know where he brought you from. Isn't that what the psalmist was doing when he said, he brought me out of a horrible pit. He dug me out of the miry clay. People need to know. You know, sometimes people can't even imagine. I mean, come to church, everybody's all cleaned up. Everybody looks good. Everybody's got a halo hanging over their head, you know, glow about their face. And sometimes those in the world cannot believe, would not ever dream where many of us were before we met Jesus. They just see someone who's been serving God for years. They don't see where God brought us from. You see, the world needs to know where we were, because where we were is where they are. Amen? And a witness is to share what our life was before we met Christ. Now, I do want to give one caution here. People do need to understand. If we were in drugs, we were in drugs. If we were an alcoholic, we were an alcoholic. Amen. They need to know where we were at. But the little caution is, we don't share the details to the point that we're trying to make it look attractive to the lost. They don't need the sordid details. They just need to know what he brought us from. Amen. You know, I've heard some people share what God brought them out of it, and they shared it so extensively and nostalgic that it made you think that they were missing it. I'm telling you, when you really get saved, you don't miss what he brought you out of. So if you want to share your witness, first of all, share what your life was like before you met Christ. Very simple. And second of all, share how you met Christ. People need to hear that. Maybe it was somebody handed you a tract. Maybe somebody invited you to church. Maybe, and I've seen this happen, maybe you were at your very end and you didn't know what to do or where to turn, and you were just in your car driving around, and as you drove by the church, something tugged at your heart and said, pull in there. And you walked through the doors and the preacher was preaching, and you thought somebody had told him where you were living, and he reached for you, came to the altar. We had a Bible school instructor that was an unbeliever, and he was getting ready to take a bath, and the radio happened to be on a religious station, and he got saved right there. Amen. Amen. People need to know how you met Jesus. Hallelujah. How many's been thinking about that since I said that? You're thinking about how you met Jesus. Amen. He spoke to you. He tugged. He pulled at your heart. Amen. Maybe part of the story is that you were at your wit's end and everything was dark. Maybe you heard a song. Maybe you were in a motel room and in despair you got out the Gideon Bible. But people need to know how you met Christ. Why? Because some of those ways are going to be the way they're going to meet him. Amen. So it's two things so far. To be a witness, you share what your life was before you met Christ. Secondly, you share how you met Christ. Thirdly, you share what your life has been since you met Christ. Hallelujah. Sometimes people in a testimony and a witness have majored on the first part. And then they say, and then I got saved and everything changed. Amen. But I think people need to know what it's been like since you met Jesus. Everything changed. Amen. I know there's still troubles and problems, but you might have the testimony. He put my marriage together. Since we've been serving him, yes, we've had hard times, but he's taken us through the hard times. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a victory. Maybe it's been sanctification. But just talk about what your life has been since you serve Christ. You know, some people, and we got on this morning, amen, they talk about how hard it is to serve Jesus. I think they're going to convince the lost not to get saved. I'm telling you, yes, there's battles and there's tough times, but it's wonderful serving Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Wouldn't you a lot rather be serving him than to be in the pit that he dug you from? And so there's our witness. There's how to witness. Share what your life was before you met Christ. Share how you met Christ. Share what your life has been since you met Christ. And so the point is, before you could witness, you must have something to witness about. I'm going to read some scriptures. I'm not going to make a lot of comments, but I do want us to get this story as this example of wonder and witness. Amen. This man, they were passed to him, Jesus' disciples, and they said, why is this man born blind? Did he sin or did his parents sin? And Jesus said, neither. Amen. But he's born blind that the glory of God could be seen. Verse 6, and when Jesus had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and he washed and came seeing. I'm way ahead of myself, but that's how we got to see, too. We got washed. We can see. Verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind said, is not this the man that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. And others said, he is like him. Can you imagine? He's hearing them. They're debating whether he's the man that was blind. Listen to him. Well, it's him. They're looking at him. It's him. No, it's not him. Yeah, it's him. No, it's not. Can you imagine him watching that? Pretty soon he said, hey, folks, don't I have a say in the matter? I am that man that sat there begging. I'm telling you, to be a witness is to realize you have a say in the matter. Hallelujah. And the neighbors, therefore, as I read, they're debating this. He said, I am he. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Notice that the neighbors recognized it. They recognized something had happened to him. I'm telling you, our witness starts here. If we have genuinely been converted, there'll be a difference about us that those around us will notice. How many believes that? If we have really been changed by Jesus, those around us will notice. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He didn't have to come up and say, hey, I want to tell you how Jesus opened my eyes. He didn't have to run them down and hold them and say, hey, wait a minute, you've got to hear me. No, when they saw the difference in the man, they asked him, how did your eyes get open? And the principle here is the best witness is to live a life of such difference that the unsaved in your life want to know what caused the difference. You're at work, and the men in the break room said, Bill, what happened to you? Your face looks different. You don't talk the way you used to talk. You don't laugh at those jokes anymore. What happened to you? They say at the grocery store, Sue, what happened to you? We can tell there's something different about you. What happened? They can tell it in the schools, in the halls of the school. Whatever your name is, they call your name and say, what is different about you? You're not like us anymore. You're not involved in the sin anymore. Amen. You don't go to the same places on your phone anymore. What's different? I'm telling you, that's someone that's really got saved. When the unsaved around them see such a difference, they want to know what caused it. The greatest impediment of being a witness for Jesus today is the world can see that no difference in the lives who have claimed him, of those who've claimed to met Jesus, than exist in their own lives. He answered and said, "I'll be glad to tell you." Oh, don't you like the way he put it? A man that is called Jesus. He didn't say it was the church. He didn't say, "I learned a 10-step program." He said, "Let me tell you what made the difference. I met Jesus. Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went, and I washed, and I received my sight." What was his witness? He simply told them what had happened to him. "I met Jesus." They said unto him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, brought him to the church authorities. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, "He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see." Now what I want you to notice here, the Pharisees asked him what happened to him as well. But they weren't really wanting that kind of blessing or relationship with Christ. They were simply looking at a way to find fault with what had happened to him. And make no mistake, there are some in this world that are looking for a way and a reason to criticize and to make fun and to run down what you've experienced. And that's what where these Pharisees were at. They were asking about what happened to him, but they were trying to find fault. They wanted to find a reason. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received this sight. And they asked the parents, saying, "Is this your son whom you say?" Look how facetious these Pharisees were. "Whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" They're already trying to cast doubt to the story. And his parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son." Don't you think we know who our own son is? "And we know that he was born blind. We were there. We were there when we held the infant in our arms and he was born blind." But his parents, afraid they'd be kicked out of the synagogue, said, "By what means he now seeth, we know not. And who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And whatever the motive of the parents, they were saying in a sense, "Why are you asking us? He's right here. He's the one who had his eyes open. He's the one it happened to. Why don't you ask him?" And my point here is nobody can tell your story like you can. I can say, "God save Bobby," or I can say, "God save Pat Norvell," and I can even tell a few of the details, and that's great, but I can't tell your story the way you can tell it. Hallelujah. How many's got a story to tell? Hallelujah. That's what a witness is, telling that story. Then again they called, verse 24, the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner." And he answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Then said they to him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" Notice what they was trying to do. They was trying to sidetrack this man into a theological argument. This Jesus, he has to be a sinner. And they would have given you reasons why they thought he was a sinner. They was trying to divert this man and pull him into this theological argument. But notice he would not be sidetracked by theological arguments. He said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not." Later he tells us, "How could this man be a sinner? Since the world began, has it not happened that a man in sin hath opened the eyes of one born blind?" But he's not going to be distracted. He said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But this one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see." You can argue about this and that. You can talk about the abuses of the church. You can talk about all this. But this one thing I know, my life was hopeless. I lived in darkness. I was bound by sin. But when I met Jesus, the light shone. Everything's been different. I was set free. My sins were forgiven. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, how can you argue with that? The difference that Jesus makes. And so I want you to see those three things I introduced to you in this man's witness. Number one, He talked about his life before he met Christ. He said, I was blind. How many can say with this man, before you met Christ, I was blind? Paul said, the God of this world have blinded the minds of those that believe not. And then he talked about how he met Jesus. He put clay on my eye. What a story he told. You know, if you've been blind all your life, your sense of hearing is acute. And they asked this man, what happened to you? And he said, this man walked up to me, and I heard him gathering spit in his mouth. And I heard him spit. Wow, he had a story to tell. And he said, I heard him scraping on the ground. And then the next thing I knew, I felt him rubbing that mud made of clay and spittle, rubbing it on my eyes. And you can believe what you want to, but when God created man, he reached down and got clay and created a whole man. And I think this man was born without eyeballs. And I think Jesus spat on the ground, picked up clay, and made him some eyeballs. Stuck him in there. Now go wash off the residue. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that man telling that story? Now let me get this straight. They said, you were born without eyeballs, or you were born blind, however you want to believe it. You were born blind. Yes, you never saw anything. No, didn't know what it was to see. And then this man spat on the ground and made clay and rubbed it on. Yes, that's how I met him. I met him when he was rubbing clay on my eyes. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How did you meet him? I came to church just because somebody invited me. But when I was there, all of a sudden, I felt something I had never felt before. I felt a tug on my heart. And then he talked about his condition after he met Christ. I was blind. It's my life before I met Christ. I met him because he walked up to me and began to rub clay and spittle on my eyes. But now, I want you to know, he said, I see. Ever since I encountered this Jesus, I see. Don't you love to sing it? Yet amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. What do we sing? Say it with me. I was, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Didn't something happen when you met Jesus? Hallelujah. He answered them. They said, tell us what happened. He said, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Here's a point you may not agree with me on, but there's no need to share with those who are not serious seekers. I don't believe you should try to force somebody to hear the gospel. He said, why are you trying to hear? And notice he gets really sarcastic. They didn't like what happened to this man, but they didn't like what he responded to. He said, why are you wanting to hear again? You've heard it. Is it because you want to be his disciple? He was kind of needling him. And they puffed up their religious robes and said, you were all together born in sin, and dost thou teach us? They didn't want to hear. Some people will not want to hear. But some are dying, literally and figuratively, are dying to hear your story of how Christ changed your life. And so tonight, that very simple principle, I want to review it. How do you witness? And by the way, this is a good testimony too. Share what your life was like before you met Christ. Share how you met Christ. And last of all, share what your life has been since you've met Christ. Do you have that in your life? Before Christ, meeting Christ, after Christ. Oh, what a change in my life. For some, I'm going to talk to young people, especially right now. For some, because I don't want there to be any mistake made, for some, your witness is about the life you've never lived because of Christ. See, when I'm talking about share what your life was like before you met Christ, we're talking about folks that didn't know God. And since they didn't know God, wicked things entered their life. Bondages of sin. And I'm not saying if you're raised in church, you don't have things to be saved from. You do. But also, it's a wonderful thing to be able to stand. Someone, let's just picture this. Someone stands, and that's a great testimony. My friend's testimony was a great witness that day. He said, I smoked the dope, I drank the alcohol, I was involved in the illicitness, and Jesus saved me. That was a tremendous, powerful testimony. And sometimes we'll hear testimonies like that, and folks will shout rightfully, and folks will get happy, rightfully so. But I had a testimony too. And my testimony is, since a child, 5 years old, giving my life to Christ, baptized in the Holy Spirit at 7, I never smoked, I never drank, I was never involved in drugs, never knew that heartache, never knew that pain, never knew that. That's a testimony too. And sometimes our testimony is, our witness is about the life we never. We're not taking credit for it. We're saying, Jesus kept me from that. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for those he brought out of deep in sin. But thank God for a young person or a person that's now an older person that can stand and say, he saved me, not out of it, but he saved me from it as well. Isn't that a great witness too? That's a great witness too. I never want anybody to assume they have to go out and sin in order to have a testimony. If he's kept you from that life, you have a testimony. Your witness is what you have been kept from by living from Christ. Now, I want to tell us something, church, before I close. Music, would you go ahead and come? Not everybody will get saved as a result of your witness, but somebody will. I really believe this. If you share what God has done for you, somebody will get saved. Amen. I told this story some years ago, and it really got to me. I've since forgotten his name, but there was a Russian novelist who was also the collector of butterflies. And in the summer, he went to the state of Utah, one of those places you stay in a boarding house to just spend your vacation. And he went there to collect butterflies. He had been out all day chasing butterflies, and he came in one evening. He was at the boarding room table there. And he said, you know, today when I was chasing this certain butterfly, he said, I kept hearing groanings down in this gulch there, down off the cliff. I just kept hearing somebody down there just groaning in pain and calling out for help. And they asked him, they said, which we would. They said, did you go see what was going on, what was wrong? And he said, no, because there was a butterfly. It's a very rare butterfly, he said, that I was after. And I was just about to catch it, and it was leading me away from there. And he said, I finally caught the butterfly, but I never got back over there. And then it got dark, and so I just came down from the mountain. The next day, they sent a search party up there and went. It was an old prospector from the hills there. He had slipped and fallen off the cliff and injured himself. Could have been saved, but over the night, without help and attention, he died. And the bottom line of that story is, somebody died that was crying out for help because somebody was more interested in chasing a butterfly. That's a true story. And again, no guilt here, but what I want to talk to you is about perspective. We can have our attention on so many other different things that we fail to hear the cries of the people in our life that need to hear our story. And again, no guilt here, but how many's found that true? Sometimes your perspective just needed change. Your attention was on the wrong thing. I remember some years ago over here in the parsonage, I was really involved in doing something in the garage, and somebody stopped by. I don't know if they ran out of gas or what, but they stopped by, and I talked and tried to help them, whatever. And as this man was walking off, it hit me, you know, you didn't say anything about the Lord. And I said, hey, wait a minute. I said, hey, well, now you know where we are. If you ever need spiritual help, have a good day. And he walked and got in his car, and I got talking to myself. You ever talk to yourself? I said, Hurst. Do you ever use your last name when you talk to yourself? I said, Hurst. I said, that was weak. That was really, really weak. And you know why it was weak? Because my perspective was off. My attention was more on that thing I was involved in than the fact that might have been. You see, there was a time A man ran out of gas and shared the gospel with him. He was in church the next Sunday and gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, not everybody will hear, but somebody will. Amen. Do you have a story to tell? Do you have the wonder? I don't know how it happened. It could happen on the street. It could happen at school. Amen. It can happen in your neighborhood. But believe me, there are people that want to hear what Jesus has done for you. I want to keep the wonder, don't you? I want to be glad I'm saved. You see, our witness starts there. I'm glad I'm saved. Would you stand across the building? Father, help us. Oh, Jesus, we're so grateful. We're so grateful, Christ, of the difference you've made in our lives. We think of those that are struggling, those that are hurting, those that are living in darkness, Lord. And you've chosen to use us and the story of what you've done for us to minister to them and to change their lives. I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, not that guilt would come upon any believer, but an excitement that they can share their story. There's going to be somebody whose life will be changed when they hear what Jesus has done for the believer, because they'll know that Jesus can do it for them. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're here tonight. You want God to help you to see the opportunity. You're praying to God to give you the opportunity, and you're praying God to inspire you to share your story. Here in a moment, I'm going to have you come. But right now, I want to know, is there anyone in the building you'd say, I'm tired of darkness? And I've heard tonight how Jesus took a man who was born blind and gave him sight. And you said that Jesus can make a difference in my life. If you're here tonight and you need Christ to give you sight, you need Christ to bring light into your life, I want to invite you to come. Anyone in the house, you need Jesus tonight, I want to tell you, he'll make a difference. If you were to look around, you'd see a household, a house full of people whose lives have been changed by the power of Jesus. It's not religion, it's not doctrine, it's not theology, it's not philosophy. They met a person, they met Jesus. Are you here? You're tired of darkness. Amen. Church, you're praying. That's the most important thing right now. Amen. That God would talk to somebody. You're here. You're tired of darkness. I want to tell you, he'll give you light. Ask this man that was born blind. He'll tell you, Jesus will give you sight. Hallelujah. Are you here? Anyone in the building? Hallelujah. All right. If you're here tonight as a believer and you'll say, if God will help me, and I know he will, I'm going to share my story of how I met Jesus and the change he's made in my life. Would you come fill the altars and say, God, if you'll give me strength, I'll share my story. Hallelujah. I'll tell how Jesus changed me.
In the light of thy word,
hallelujah.
My life be a light on a hill.
Somebody's waiting to hear. Hallelujah.
Souls now astray to the straight narrow way. Help me to do some good deed while I live. Let my life be a light shining out through the night. May I help struggling ones to the fold.
He brought me out of the miry clay. Let hallelujah.
Cheer everywhere to the sad and the
this
lonely.
Poor man cried.
Let my life be a light.
And the Lord heard
soul.
Him and delivered him out of all his fears. You got a story to tell.
Every day, every hour, let me
young people that have never known sin, you got a story to tell. He's kept me from
guide my footsteps aright through the dark stormy night. Give me peace, give me joy, give me love.
Oh, why don't you, as you're here in the altar, just
let
thank him that you're saved. Say, Lord, I want to keep the wonder of what you've done for me.
Hallelujah. Help struggling ones to the fold. Let my life be on fire, shining out to the world as a guide. Help me rescue someone sinking now with no hope, that in heaven we shall ever abide. Let my life be a light, shining out through the night. May I help struggling sad and alone. Let my life be